Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is yours. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise, you in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You overcame. Power in hand, speaking the Father's plan. You're sending us out, light in this broken land.
By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome.
Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your name, you overcame, awesome and great is your name, you
overcame for us, and it was for me. Did he overcome for you? Hallelujah. God is a good God. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. For those of us who know that Jesus died for our sins, took care of the sin problem, we are on good ground. How solid is that ground underneath your feet? Have you made Jesus God of your life? It'll depend on how you walk with him. But the main thing is to overcome, to become born again by the Spirit of the living God. God is a good God, and he left us an interesting book called the Bible. I was talking to a guy yesterday, about being a preacher. I told him, it's an interesting thing being a preacher. First, you have to have the experience yourself. Then you have find it, then you got to find it in the Bible. And then you got to find some natural phenomenon to where you could explain people so that they'll be able to see and grasp. This is what most preachers need to do, but they're forgetting about taking the Word of God at face value. I've been listening to different people debating on the internet, and it becomes very intense. You have those who know Scripture, who know the Lord, but you have those who know Scripture but don't know the Lord. And here's how it works. They don't see the fine print. They see it different from this guy. Why do they see it different? That's the problem with the human race. Their minds and our eyes and our ears are closed to the Word of God. I'll give you an example. How many of you know German? I grew up in a Hutterite colony, and we had Sunday school every week, and we had to have a scripture that was preached on in church. And my favorite scripture was, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Also hat Gott die Welt geliebt, dass sein geboren Sohn gab." I basically did that scripture almost every second week. But did it register? No. I had no idea what it meant. There was nobody there to show me, first of all. And I think the biggest problem was I didn't really care what it meant. As long as I passed the test in Sunday school, that all that mattered to me. So the question is, why do people not see? The Bible says they love darkness more than light. That's why they don't see. They don't come to the light so that God may show them. Have you ever noticed something? When you see a light shining at night, at first you see the light shining, and then the closer you get to the light, the more you see around the light. You see different shapes, different things, different characters. This is how it is with the Word of God. The closer you come to the light, the more you see the fine print. The clearer it becomes, your eyes come open. But you got to come to the light. Today I have an interesting message which the Lord sneaked in on me. And I want you to pay close attention. Because it seems like that the world system has forgotten that God exists. Atheism, we see the evolutionists, we see people marching down the street. We're Christians, but we're also homosexuals. They're missing something. I watched an interesting interview. This Christian station was interviewing a guy who had been a homosexual, and he came to know the Lord. And they asked him, "Are you now a Christian homosexual?" Why would you ask a guy like that? And the guy said, "No, I'm a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away." Would you call yourself a Christian gossip? Would you call yourself a Christian drunk? Would you call yourself a Christian pornographer? I'm not going to call myself a Christian homosexual. I am not a homosexual anymore. I was one. I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. But today, people don't see the difference. And before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. You will open our hearts to the truth of what you're trying to show us. Help us to understand and take your word at face value. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In Amos chapter 8, in verse 11, the Bible teaches us, "Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will send famine in the land, not famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of God and shall not find it." And we see that today. People hopping from church to church, trying to find answers. Going from one religion to another, trying to find answers. The answer is very close. All you have to do is draw close to the light. You don't go to a one that claims to have the light. You come to the one that is the light, which is Jesus. And the one that is the light has a word. The word was written before the foundations of the earth. It's not to be taken lightly. You take it at face value. So God said he will send. There's going to be a famine of the word of God. I want to explain something very interesting that happened. I'll take myself for an example. In Acts chapter 16 in verse 30, it say, remember Paul and Silas were in jail. And then there was an earthquake, and the jailer wanted to kill himself. And Paul said, "No, don't kill yourself. We are all here." And it says the jailer, they brought them out. They brought these Paul and Silas out. And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Well, very simple, very straight to the point. You can't miss it. I grew up very religious, in a religious system. I myself wasn't that religious, but I for definitely wanted to go to heaven. But, you know, you grow up and you decide what they're teaching you is right, because that's what you heard since you were knee-high to a grasshopper. You do this, this, and this, and everything will turn out in the end. Nobody ever said to me, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved." There was famine in the land for the word of God. And you know, I got to be 27 years of age before finally God opened my heart to what the truth was. And I figured, I'm going to break this famine. I'm going to tell everybody about how to get into the kingdom of God. I didn't focus on how a person should live or stuff like that. I figured the main thing is, first, get into heaven. The rest will take care of itself. And that's how it's supposed to work. And I told many people about this God. I stopped the famine. Hallelujah. I wasn't the only one, because after a while you get to know people who are stopping the famine wherever they go. Are we stopping the famine by bringing the simple message of salvation? Today there is a famine in the land. They don't seem to understand that salvation comes by faith through grace and worship and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many, many thousands are still hooked on religion. The famine is there. That's why we're planting and plowing week after week after week, bringing in the seed, planting, watering, and praying for God to give the increase. And for God to give the increase, he has to open your mind, your heart, to the truth of what Scripture is saying. And that's going to happen one of these days. And it's happening slowly. It has happened slowly throughout the ages, but it'll explode as we get to the end. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to show you a few things that of the famine that is going on. It says, "Know you not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate." This is homosexuals. "Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Today we see a lot of people claiming they know God, but something is not quite right. How can people live together without being married and calling themselves Christian? There's the homosexual community that does it. God calls it an abomination. There's young people who are shacking up today as if it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, they're going to reap what they're sowing. It's an abomination to God what they're doing. They don't seem to think there's going to be consequences. There's a famine in their heart. They don't know the word of God. One day it'll click. Hopefully it's before they hurt themselves. We see incredible stuff taking place. James Dobson said 20 years ago, 50% of the pastors in America are addicted to pornography. Is it a coincidence, maybe? That's why the homosexual community is so adamant about joining the church and being accepted. Maybe it's because the seeds were sown 20 to 30 years ago. There's a famine in the land for the word of God. Homosexuality is abomination. Leviticus chapter 18 clearly teaches us that these things are an abomination to God. Look through what they are. And how do we treat people who call themselves Christians, who live in a lifestyle like that? If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it tells us, put these people away from you. Don't even eat at the same table with them. That is totally forgotten already. Nobody seems to think that's important. It's a famine of the word of God in the land of the living. So these things are being done. And at the same time, people claiming they know God. They're Christians. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "And such were some of you, but you are washed. You are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." Yes, we were all in that same category. We were all sinners. We were all homosexuals. We were all pornographers. We were all drunks. We all had that sin nature. But the Bible teaches us, such were some of you, but now you are washed. You are sanctified. You've been set aside. You have become something new. That old man is gone. It's died. Now the new man should live. And if there's no change in your life, after you have accepted Jesus, there might be something wrong with the spirit that is in you. Maybe it's not the Holy Spirit. So have you been washed? Has something happened to you since you've become born again? I know with me it happened. I know my life changed. I didn't quite understand it at first. I didn't have anybody to teach me, but the Holy Spirit worked in my heart. Things started to make sense. The Word of God started to open to me. And let me tell you, God shows you if you're interested If you don't care, then you're on your own. You need to understand that God wants to teach those that seek him. So such were some of you, but you are watched. You are washed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it tells us in verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And that's the biggest problem in today's world today. The young people with their little iPhones, they can give a few taps on their phone and they're in the spiritual realm, right there into the most horrible fornication that you can imagine. And they're getting used to it, not knowing that it's rottening. Their souls are rotting away inside them as that sin simply destroys them. We need to flee these things. We need to rip them from our hearts, regardless how much pressure they put on you. Get rid of them. Will you win all the time? Of course not. You will fail because our flesh is against us. The devil is against us. The world is against us. But we have God that tells us, I forgive you, my son. I forgive you, my daughter. Just come to me. I will in no wise cast out, regardless how much you fall and fail. The Bible teaches us that we should forgive each other 7 times 77. So the one that gives that commandment is the one that's going to do it. And who is it? It's Jesus Christ. And I believe the biggest famine today in the churches is the judgment of God. Will there be an eternal lake of fire when a person is brought to judgment? According to Scripture, it is very clear. Those who don't turn to Christ will have to suffer eternally in the eternal lake of fire. Yes, you can go home right now and turn on your TV, and you will find preachers that say a loving God will never send anybody into hell. Oh, the Bible begs to differ. God is a loving God, I know that. He brought me out of that horrifying place. I could smell the heat, smoke already. I remember debating with a person about Christianity, an older fellow. Him and his wife, I went to visit them, and they were talking against the churches. This church is doing this wrong. This church is doing that wrong. And this church is operating like that. And I told them, I totally agree with you. And they said, coming from a pastor, that it doesn't sound right. I told them, the idea of Christianity is not necessarily what church you go to. The idea of Christianity is to get your butt out of hell. That's what it's all about. Get saved. Get to know the Lord. Because for those of us who know this, know how close we were to getting into that awful place. It tells us in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whom the face, the earth, and the heavens fled away, and there was found no peace place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Everyone who's ever been born to this world will one day stand before God. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things that were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. That is awful, if you think about it. We as Christians know how often we fail this God, how often we sin. And the Bible teaches us if we break one law, we broke them all, and we are in danger of hellfire. It tells us, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Who are the ones that are going to be cast into the lake of fire? Those who are not born again by the Spirit of the living God. This is our ticket out of that awful judgment. Why will we not be at that judgment? Because Jesus Christ, our Savior, that's why it's called Savior. He saved us from hell. He's the one that took my sin upon himself, your sin upon himself, so that we will not have to experience the wrath of God that God is going to pour out on those that reject him. The Bible teaches us the smoke of their torment will arise forever and ever. That's not just for 200 years. That's for eternity. This is why we need a Savior. We don't turn to God just because we want to live better or we want to somehow be a better person. We turn to Jesus because we want to escape that awful, terrible judgment that is coming as sure as we're sitting here, and even more sure. Why? It is because the Bible teaches us that. This is what the Word of God teaches. We cannot frown at it. We cannot laugh at it. It's the Word of God. It's as good as done. History is written before it even happens. And here is what God is showing us. You better take heed to this warning. Yes, I'm a loving God. I love you. But I've done everything I'm going to do to save you from that awful place. I sent my son to take your place, to take your punishment. And if you do not take it, you're going to have to suffer the consequences. The Bible teaches us he that sins after he has received the knowledge of the truth, there is nothing waiting for him but fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. So God is warning left and right. You better know there is a judgment. This is why I'm so adamant about preaching the gospel. There are people out there whose eyes aren't open. There's a famine in the land. They need to hear that Jesus is coming back soon. They need to hear that God is going to pour out his wrath on the God haters, on those who are nonchalant, on those who don't care. They need to hear that there is a judgment day ahead, and it's coming soon. We are fast running out of time. This is why we're spending week after week, month after month, year after year, proclaiming the same message. You have to be born again. If you don't, you're going to be in terrible, dire straits. So open up your heart to this. For the Lord is not willing that any perish. He loves us all. But there's one thing that God will not do. He will not go against his word. He says there's one scripture that goes like this. My word is above my name. So it's been already written, and so it will be done. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make yourself a blessing to yourself by studying it and accepting it for yourself. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Savior.
He triumphed for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed. Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose.
Mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign.
He arose.
He arose a victor from the dark domain.